Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor.
Yep.
Bringing the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts
all
and cannabis
shit.
Culture. With co host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with another episode of the Smoking Joe Thunder podcast. I got my co-host in the building, Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin.
What's up?
How you doing?
Chilling. How y'all are doing?
Good.
You know?
Did you have a good weekend?
Twisted.
Wasn't too bad. It wasn't too shabby.
Yeah,
I was
good.
Here and there a little bit everywhere. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Making moves like y'all, you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
see
for real.
Hell yeah. Well, shout out to Be Good, our
shout
official
out.
Sponsor. You know what I mean? Check them out there at 11 West Hamden. Boulevard.
114th and Cherokee, across the highway from Boondocks.
They got those specials right now.
Yeah.
They got $99
fire.
Ounces out the door. Fire, yeah. All your needs, anything y'all need, edibles, tinctures, wax, all that good shit, you know what I'm saying? But we got a motherfucking dope-ass episode for y'all today. I hope y'all ready.
A motherfucking dope-ass episode.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
it's
got
going
a living
down
legend
today.
In the building.
Going
you know what
down.
I'm saying?
Today.
Been trying to get him on here for a while, and today the planets aligned, and we got him. He's a DJ, he's an entrepreneur, he's a teacher, he's an activist, he's a in the community. We got motherfucking DJ Chones in the building.
What up, everyone?
Doing,
how y'all feeling?
Good,
hey, we're good,
feeling?
Man. We appreciate you stopping on by, man. How you been?
I've been good, man. I'm happy, yo. He's been on me, guys. He's been like, yo, gotta make it happen. This is like,
hey, you're an important part of you know what we do in history and everything.
Yeah.
I need to know what's really going on because we've been putting the pieces together here, man. And you know, we got another piece right now.
I know. I've been seeing. You know, you had a lot of pioneers on the show, and
we got another one.
I'm happy to come bless the podcast and get down with y'all.
Hell yeah.
We really
appreciate
it, for
man.
Sure.
Hey, well, shit, being this is your first time, man, let them know kind of where you grew up, how you kind of, you know what I mean, your younger days. Being
yeah,
from
no doubt.
City.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm born and raised in Denver. I'm a native, and so not, you know, you're a native, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
born
so.
Born and raised.
Yeah, so yeah,
man.
Y'all know.
Cross the bridge for Swansea. Yeah. Cross
Word.
The bridge. Swansea.
I mean, I went to Our Lady of Grace Church. I was baptized there, confirmed
shit.
There. So
Our Lady of Grace, I got baptized, confirmed, the whole shebang
all that, man. So right there, Our Lady of Grace, I know
First
what's
Holy
up.
Communion, the whole shebang.
So I kind of grew up in the middle of Denver. It's like North Denver and Thornton. It was this little community is called unincorporated Adams County.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all heard of that. You know where like Las Delicias is up north off of
Pecos, right?
Yeah, for almost like
36?
Pecos. Yeah, off of 36.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Pecos are one down
yeah.
right off of 36
yeah,
on Broadway.
Yeah. That little area
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
that's like this.
Incorporated.
Yeah.
I used to have a weed dealer over there.
Yeah, we're in the middle. Like,
I used to have a dispensary over there.
You know what I'm talking about, then that,
yeah,
that
exactly.
little area.
I know
yeah,
exactly.
So we're in the middle, like in the middle, almost Thornton, almost Denver.
Almost Denver.
Almost
Commerce
City. Almost Commerce
City.
Almost
Commerce
City.
Yeah,
that
whole
almost.
Shit.
Almost there. We were just in the middle. We're just in our own little cut. And so I grew up most of my time there. And then my pops had a house in the north side. And so my like middle school, kind of high school years, we spent a lot. Which me and my brother call it's Hip Hop Boulevard.
Okay.
That's what we call the block that we grew up with my pop had.
There's a little bit of everything, right?
In the north side?
Yeah.
I
mean, on the hip hop block.
The hip hop. Well, the Hip Hop Boulevard, we call it that because that's like where we had tons of pioneers come in the 90s. And it's like what sparked like us really getting deep into hip hop.
Well, talk about that shit.
it's
like, where are you? I mean, you know what I
mean? Yeah, no doubt.
How did you get introduced to hip hop?
Well, of course, my brother. Yeah. Right. So my brother Fiends, everyone, my brother Fiends is, you know,
OG hip hop historian.
He's a historian, man. Like anything comes to history.
Historical and a historian.
I'm not, you know,
he's made the travels.
He got all the receipts on that. So, but you know, he got me into it before. In the early days, he was the DJ when he was in high school, and I was in middle school, and I would jump on his turntables. But banging was really heavy then, and so he got really into banging and quit DJing.
Uh-huh.
So then the turntables went away.
Right.
But in the 90s, there was this play that came here with the Get Originals. They had the Rock City crew and everybody. Right. And it had Wiggles and had Legs, that Ken Swift, all the like, Fable, everyone, dog. And anyhow, we ended up throwing a party at my brother's house, which we call Hip Hop Boulevard now.
Right. Kind of set it off.
And, you know, they were dancing. Like, everyone was dancing in the basement. We had Henji. I don't know if you know who Henji is.
Yeah.
Old school classic. Used to DJ for D-Town Brown back in the day. And he was DJing there, just cutting it up. And we were all trying to dance. And he ended up leaving his turntables there at my brother's crib. And, you know, I woke up. Early 7 in the morning.
Hell yeah, get your practice.
I was stuck with a needle on the record. trying to scratch and stuff. And I was hooked. And then I was hooked.
That was it right there.
The house parties, right? Kind of did it for you.
The house parties, you know. I was hooked.
That's tight.
You know, so that's really like what really sparked it. But before that, you know, there was the other cats that were graffiti crew that came through. The SB crew, I believe that's what they call. My brother has the receipts on that from Chicago. And they came in, they were rocking Pumas in the 90s. They're still b-boying.
I love Pumas.
Yeah.
Pumas
and are dope. We're like, well, what are y'all doing? Like, we don't do that no more. We bang.
Gang bang over here.
We're not doing that. We don't do that stuff no more. And it's like, nah, man, it never died. And so they kind of like sparked like graffiti and stuff like that's why I have the No
Resurgence.
Claims.
Right.
Like the No Claims hat.
No Claims,
that's what united like the east side, the west side, and the north side, and it was graffiti.
Yep.
And so that's the No Claims crew. Yeah.
Out of all the elements, what's your true love? Is it DJing?
DJing. I sucked at everything else.
Did it all, though?
Yeah, I mean, I can't draw. I got the same book. Yeah, you know, you were talking about my nephew John earlier off the podcast. He makes fun of me. When are you going to do some different kind of toss-up? You know what I mean?
Like,
I've been doing the same toss-up since the 90s.
Yeah.
I haven't even switched it up. I actually bit it from voice.
I
bit it from voice because he did a throw-up chones and like, oh, I like that C.
Yep.
I try to master that C and I do it ever since.
That's the one now, yeah.
he invented it.
Might have to get you to do one before you leave.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
No doubt, yeah.
Hey, but you guys were like different. Like you guys were like a hip-hop crew, like you had graffiti writers, you guys had b-boys, you had MCs.
Yep, we had it all.
You had everything.
That's what kind of when it would transition to Lords of Finesse,
right?
From No Claim, which was just like graffiti. Mm-hmm. Like, that was all like me. I was a toy, I wasn't none of that. I was just the guy that was looking out for you or filling in for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't doing anything
on
else.
Mission, though.
Yeah.
I seen you on the DVD, though.
Yeah. I wasn't doing, like, no no bombs
what?
Or
what
nothing.
What do you mean?
On the, what is it, Colorado, the, it's not the Colorado.
Oh, the Musa joint?
The Rockies?
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yep.
Oh, shit.
I was battling.
What were you doing?
I was battling.
They were battling everybody.
I wasn't dancing. I was dancing. Yeah. I was dancing back in the day when we like threw these parties with the Asia One.
You were
right there on Lama.
Yeah, b-boying.
Oh, damn.
We would throw these like actually right around now, like turkey jams, Halloween jams.
Oh, right shit. There on Lama Street, right?
I don't know. Turkey I don't jams. Even know. Not the store. We would throw it at like a specific spot. We would have Jam X DJ and Henji would DJ. And I was just not a DJ yet. I was still trying to get on the floor and dance with all these guys, and I battled. I was battling with all them dudes. I even beat Mars that time.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
shut
yeah. Up. Yeah. They're all mad because I did the worm. They all,
oh, no.
They thought that was so played out. Like, yeah, we killed them.
You got him.
I couldn't even windmill. I could even win
it on your knee and shit, doing the worm.
Yeah, doing the knee spin, doing the worm.
Knee spinning. Oh hell, man! Where are these pictures? Yo, if you have photos, submit.
If you guys have footage, send it to us. You know,
submit
your
photos.
You want to check this out?
Your video.
But do your history on that. Yeah, he's mad over that battle.
That's fucking wild.
I even got props from Quickstep finally. Quickstep would never give me my props. He would never give me my props when it came to dancing. I sucked.
Hey,
got no love.
You just on one that day, huh?
I don't know. I just pulled it out. I'm just going to do what I do.
You're feeling it.
Just did the worm.
Feeling it. You were feeling the worm.
Got the dub.
Hey, got it. Whatever it takes. You win, you win.
Get that W. Dub. Yeah.
No matter how you got
so
it.
So that just, you know, little jams here and there, you know, sparked the you know, the love for hip hop and love for DJing and seeing them dudes rock Jam X and like Hanji rock the party, man. I want to do that so bad. Oh man, those guys were gods. Like, and especially Jam X. Well, they're both gods, but Jam X, like I learned how to really DJ off of listening to his mixtapes from Casa del Funk. Like, they ain't no videos Casa then. They ain't nothing. I had to buy mixtapes.
Right.
And play it in my Walkman, yeah. Rewind it, and listen to what he's doing to try to mimic it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can't.
I know, it's all your ears.
No visuals.
No visuals. No one to teach me how to blend records.
Yeah, you had to do it all by ear. You're like old school. Like,
had to learn from.
With no YouTube.
Brought crates around with you. Like,
again,
when you had to carry records upstairs and shit. Yeah.
Fuck. Horrible, man.
I don't even think I would have been a DJ if I had to do all that. Like,
I don't think I'd be DJing right now if I had
dedication.
To do that.
Dedication. Right. No, I'm saying, I know you wouldn't, but I'm saying that's like dedication. Yeah. Like DJs. OG DJs, man, like, so much high respect for that, because they're really like putting the work in to like just play these records for people, and now we get it like the drop of like a hat, like we're just like anytime we want,
man.
So it's like there's so much respect for that.
I remember hard. Go ahead.
Yeah. I remember like fucking the place like in New York where you can order, like Denver would have records, but they wouldn't have like records. You could find shit, but you call the places in New York.
Yeah,
they would have any fucking thing you want on vinyl, and they'd overnight that shit for $10, and you'd have it right there the next day, whatever your fucking playlist. You know what I mean? Be rocking shit.
When I started really like getting records, like I was really behind. You know, we had Wax Tracks here, what other? Women Contents had some records. Had some records.
It was very limited.
It wasn't a lot, but I believe maybe in 96, 97. I remember Maceo from De La Soul. That's when we first became friends. Yeah. I opened up a show for them at the Fox, and we just exchanged. We just hit it off. And so we did the Fox. We did some mountain towns, and we did every show. I opened up every show.
That's so dope. What a cool experience.
And so we became friends. We're since 96, we're like boys. Anyhow, I gave him my address, I gave him loot, and he bought me all the hotness from Fat Beats and in New York at the time. And then he sent me just like all the gems, like anything that I don't know, you guys ever familiar with like any of like the first Radio Bumps mixtapes?
Yeah.
Have y'all ever heard of any of them?
Back in the day.
Sure. Yeah, 96. They're on cassette, by the way.
Right.
That's not CD, but like all them tapes, all them, most of them records were made from like when I got from Fat Beats, from Maceo. He laced me up with all, like Ultramatic B-Boy from Mos Def was just coming out. Yeah. Like,
so cool that you got to experience that type of, that way, because when people just drop us, like, they just email you a song so easily, and it's just like you were getting those songs.
It's
you
selected.
Were actually breaking records.
It was a custom selected, though. Like that's when like no one knew who Mos Def was, right?
Right.
Is that Ruckus was just coming out,
yeah.
And so he hand selected all them records.
It was the white labels too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's Smut Peddlers and all these kind of weird like backpack hip hop kind of joints. Right. That's when I was heavy into that in '96.
That's where like you got when all that shit was from.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, go
ahead. 96, I'm just saying hip hop. It's just that set the bar around that time. Like, I don't think hip hop has been as good since the 90s. So I'm just saying.
No, 2000s was hot.
2000s was hot, yeah. I mean, but I'm saying hip hop and like hip hop, like that meaningful hip hop.
Yeah.
You could say 2000 more commercial. You know what I mean? They took it to the next level.
Yep. I liked the 2000s.
Yeah, I'm not like I'm not trying to knock 2000s.
Be a hater over there.
What was your first record?
Hip-hop, it was at best.
The first record that I bought?
That you bought.
Do you remember?
Souls of Mischief, Never No More. It wasn't even 93. Yeah, it wasn't even 93 to Infinity. I think it was their second single.
Oh, really?
And I got a Sound Warehouse. Crazy. And you know,
which one?
One at Westminster.
Okay.
You know the one by the Westminster Mall.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one there. And there's one on Evans. You remember that shit?
I never.
By
you know.
DU, and there's one on Colorado Boulevard.
We're talking off air, right? You know where I went and where I don't go.
Oh, that's right. You just told me yours. Like, I don't leave the North. He's like, like, four people this week have told me, like, I don't really go to this part of town. I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I don't. Well, that's so funny. I don't really travel anymore, like, out my little bubble.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Kind of like that.
You don't have
John
to.
Travolta.
Right.
Hey, when did you start getting serious about DJing, though?
96. I guess 95, 96, 90, 95, I flew to New York straight out of high school. Sick. All by myself. Damn. Met up with Quickstep and went to the Rocksteady Crew anniversary. And that's actually, it was so dope. I met, you know, everyone there. That's like, I met the RZA from Woo. I met Fat Joe, Big Al. Like, I got all these drops right on tape, cassette tapes, right?
From to walk around a little cassette.
I brought everyone. It was the last episode of Yo MTV Raps.
Oh shit!
I was there with Fab Five Freddy. There he was all hype. Damn. Yo, these cats are from Denver. Blah blah blah. I was like, Yo MTV Raps. I got the receipts. I could show you. It was crazy. I got really like, yo, this is it. And then my dad invested in this club up in Boulder. It was called Club Mecca. I don't know if you ever heard of that club. Mecca was in the basement.
Downstairs, yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yep, and we actually, you know, we had the roots. We had the roots there.
Damn.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. I even know the show you're talking about.
You know the show with the roots, and even had Razzell was still in the group then. It was bananas. I was DJing with Questlove. Me and Questlove DJing. It was nuts.
So dope.
Yeah, so all on wax. We're still on wax, too.
That's fucking
man, so... It was really serious then. So I got to give all props to, like, my pops, really, for putting me, like, really in the game when he invested in that club. And, you know, he to me, like, yo, like, it was like he believed in me. And then, like.
He gave you the space.
He gave me the space, and I had to do it. I was like, I have to do this. Like, there's no turning back now. Uh-uh. Even though, because it was, like, a bad investment, the dude that we went to business with, he just like skipped town.
Oh shit.
So after like the Roots concert, it was like, oh, we can't find the homeboy. He just skipped town.
No.
So we put like 12 G's into the club. And how do you tell your pops that like took money out your crib to invest into this nightclub that like this dude skipped out on us?
Gone.
What are you gonna do?
Oh my gosh.
How do you do? What do you do? You know what I'm saying? So like I feel like I'm forever in debt. Well, always to your parents, right? But to my pops, we're like,
damn.
Yo. Like, yo, you invested like 12 G's.
Literally.
And we didn't get no money back.
Damn.
Really? Whoa. Just tearing out the systems and stuff, trying to slang stuff.
Right. Making pennies on what you bought.
Through like one club night, make a couple. It was
try
nothing.
To make
really.
Back.
Try to say something back. But my dad's like, yo, he invested in me. He got my first turntable for me when I was like 15.
Hell yeah. Wow.
I had one turntable. He got it for me. Technique. One turntable. Dang. I only had one.
Then do you remember what mixer you had?
Oh, it was that little probably seven, that Radio Shack one, the little two channel.
Nah, because...
you know what I'm talking about, though, right?
He got laced up from, you know, the dude that owns all the church and all that stuff.
Okay.
Regis, he laced him up with this big old, like, serious tank mixer. Fader like all the way left, all the way right. Like, what the hell is this? So horrible.
You get FCS scores.
It's like something in a disco club. Like, fader.
Fade out hard.
That's hilarious.
Mixer was back.
It's about as big. A fucking long ass cross.
Fucking tank.
We are back.
So it was a tank. Then I got into the Geminis, right?
Oh. Okay.
Gemini had a little sampler. We'll sample for like 5 seconds. And then there was the Jazzy Jeff one with the transformers on the side.
Right.
You could twist them to the side to transform.
Oh, cool. Shit.
And then, of course, everyone started going to Vestex. The 05 and 07 and 06. Uh-huh. Those were all, like, dope mixers back in the day.
Wow.
Now it's all Rain and
Rain.
Pioneer.
Hey, how'd you get your name? Because I've heard stories. I was on Elvis this the other day. There's this cat I'm not going to mention. But he was one of those guys that was always in the mix. But you kind of like, I mean, you kind of had to fuck with him, but you kind of knew not to fuck with him too much. And he told
me a story.
You
can't trust everything he said.
Yeah, there you go. And he told me a story, and I never believed it ever. And then A-Dub came on the podcast, and he talked about you DJing at their record release party. And kind of told a little story how you got your name. So we need to hear from you, though.
Well, there's no secret that my brother used to bang back in the day. And the homies that used to bang with him, they used to come over to the crib. And they would come to the crib. It was OG in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come down, and I'd be in still junior high school, maybe sixth grade or so. And they come over with girls.
No, sir.
And I would be in my Fruit of the Loom underwear,
chilling
with my shirt off, socks on, and my chones, right? And they'd be like, fucking chones, go put some fucking clothes on, bud.
Always running around,
go fucking put some fucking clothes on, guy. And I would go outside and take the trash in my underwear. I didn't care. I was just rolling in my chones wherever I went. And it just stuck. My name was Chones.
You said rolling in his chones wherever he went.
I didn't care. And then in high school, it became like do the chones dance for football when we win a football game. So do the chones dance.
Can you explain that?
What's the chones
dance? Yeah, I don't even know what this shit is for real.
It's like the Humpty Hump almost.
You pull down your fucking pants and do the
chones. The
rodeo?
Yeah, like the boxer. Yeah, oh, chones.
Wave
yeah.
around like a helicopter.
Yeah, doing the MC Hammer. Oh, not MC Hammer, but Humpty Dump.
The Humpty
Humpty Dance, basically, really. You know, and so, and it was just, my name was Chones, really. And then people would just call me Chones.
Yeah.
And then I put, and when I turned 15, I just put the name DJ in front of it. DJ Chones. Like, so if anyone ever wanted to bite my name, like, you gotta be stupid. No one wants to call their name be underwear. Who wants to be DJ underwear? Like, yo.
Right.
Yo,
why like, gonna bite your shit?
Why would you want to bite?
That's such a cool, I think that's a cool way to get a name, though.
Fucking right? Yeah. So it was just given to me.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with it. Right.
So was that release party one of your first major gigs, or? With Deuce Mob, because that was back in the day. Like, that was in, like,
No, my first major gig was opening up for De La Soul in 1996. That was my first major gig, because I battled.
And it was a full, like, it was completely packed, sold out.
Oh, yeah.
De La
Soul. Yeah.
And what venue was it at?
The Fox.
The Fox, okay.
And so, after that, it was game on. Francois put me on. It was game on. I'm talking open for Run DMC. I'm talking of Fugees and The Roots, Goody Mob.
You were his go-to, man.
How'd you get that game?
Everything.
How'd you get the first one?
I had a battle on KGNU with the Eclipse Show.
Oh, shit.
So I had a battle all these different DJs that were already on there, and there was this one cat back in the day. His name was Dijon. He was like this dude that was like rocking it. Yeah, his name was Dijon. He was the man. Yeah, he was the man.
That mustard.
But we had to come up, and we would get phone calls, and people would vote.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, I let the whole hood know.
Yeah, you better fucking call in for me.
I'll come up
the
there.
Whole north.
No one's ever going to take me out, because I got the whole hood with me. And then no one ever took me out. And so, because I won it, I got a chance to open up for De La. And Francois put me onto that. And then, like I said, everything, Funk Dubious, anything, hip-hop-wise, Souls of Mischief, anything in the 90s, I did. Anything.
Any show that was coming.
The Licks, anything. I was open. J. Rue, anything.
J. Rue.
Right? When he got shanked here.
Damn. Oh, right. Shit.
Yeah, man.
You opened that show?
I left. I left. I opened. Yeah. DJ Shadow came on after me. And then J. Rue. And I had to go down and do the New Edition after party. Down here in Denver.
Oh, shit.
Right?
The New Edition.
So I went, just think about the mind.
Right.
Just look at, now, here's, dial it in, guys.
Right.
Yeah. Dial it in. Look at, like, the diverse, right? I went from a J. Rue DJ Shadow concert, right?
Right.
Open up for that show. Now let's flip gears. What I just tell you, I'm gonna go play
New Edition. Bobby Brown.
How did I
what
have to?
What the fuck?
But do you remember what you played when you opened for New Edition? Any?
It was the after party.
It was after party. I mean,
so all their music, the all the R&B, Jodeci, New Edition. Well, that might have been a little later.
Did you make it? Like, did you make an R&B night, or did you kind of just sweat. Get hype?
I think about that time that Diddy just came out with. I know, Biggie just dropped Hypnotized. And so that shit was, that fucking record was out of control.
Hell yeah, it was out of control.
Fucking out of control. There, like Barry Sanders was even there that night.
What?
I don't even know what the hell was going on.
Silver Bullet.
It was cool.
New Edition after party.
Yeah, and I was like, he had two chicks on his arm, walking in sandals. At the very end, I was like, oh, my God. Barry Sanders.
Where was this at again?
Favorite football.
Yeah, where was that at?
Yeah, where was that at?
This place is called, it was called Hennessy's.
Hennessy's.
It was a right by Coors Field. I think they called
yeah,
it.
That's cool.
I think they called it the F stop back then. Yeah. But on that night they used to call it Hennessy's, and me and Jam X used to DJ it. Yeah,
that's cool.
And yeah, Barry Sanders had the two chicks on the side of his arms in sandals. He's I was like, yeah, I was like, sandals. Yo, I was like, yo, you're the man.
Hell yeah.
He was like, yo, can you? I was like, can you sign my Bad Boy record? I didn't have no card.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? And uh-huh. He's like. No, Jones, you the man. And I'm like, yeah, you're crazy.
Crazy.
Dude, you don't understand. I got your rookie card.
Hell yeah. 89 mean? Score shit. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I knowing you were here,
I got the
shit.
Pro tops. Let me get that signed. Yeah.
That's so,
yeah.
You were DJing for those people, so you were the man. Just
yeah,
saying.
So it was
just after shit. Party.
Yeah, I was pretty young. I don't know.
I know. That's crazy. Right, I didn't realize you were that young. I didn't realize you started out that young, especially like doing big shows like that.
I was probably I don't know.
You were like thrown into it, like
yeah, I was just thrown out.
Into like having huge crowds.
Yeah,
like,
I was just
thrown. That's amazing.
22, I think I was 22, 23.
Oh wow.
Shit.
23.
Hey, when you were battling this shit, you ever fuck with the DMCs or anything like that?
Yeah, the DMCs. I did DMCs twice. The first year I was highly favored to win. But, like, Colorado wasn't known for, like, the DJs they were back then.
Right.
So everyone from the West Coast and stuff like that, everyone would travel here that was dope to battle. It was an easier market, right?
Right.
Just kind of like B-boy and stuff too, right?
Exactly.
And so I ended up taking third that year. I couldn't. My six-minute set wasn't that dope. And then... The next year, it was 99. The next year was 2000. I wasn't even going to battle. Cats were getting really good.
Right.
I was like, man, I don't know if I keep up. So I did. I competed, and I ended up taking second that year.
Sick.
And I was – some people thought I was slated to like, take first. But, you know, I even had homies that were judges. Like, I don't know if you know who Q is.
Yeah, Salazar.
Yeah. Salazar, he was the hip-hop blogger. He was on... He's my boy. He voted against me.
Oh, damn.
Like, yeah. I think... I don't forgot who won. You know who won was this DJ. His name's DJ Realm. He's dope. He's from San Francisco. He's dope video DJ and stuff now. He's fire. You know, he was dope. But, like, I was doing mashups before mashups were cool.
Right.
So I was playing Santana over Breakbeat Records. I was playing... Metallica over Breakbeat Records, blending them and scratching them at the same time. Instead of everyone was really into like
juggling.
And I did that too on my set and like real technical scratching. I did a little bit of that too, but I was like really getting into the blending. Of,
you're trying to flip it.
When you set a vibe, it's so important to be good on those blends, I think. Like, if you're a vibe creator, if you're a battle, when you're battling, it's good with the juggle.
Yeah, so I try to do all of that, everything that I was. And I think there was like Scratch. I don't know what Scratch was there that was judging. He voted for me. Q didn't vote for me.
Shout out to Q, though.
Yeah, he knows.
A lot of love back in the day. Like,
he knows. Q used to write my blogs.
Right.
And I hired him to blog for me back in the day for DJChones.com. So it's all good, but it was a good experience.
You should have paid him more.
Yeah, I know. But no, that was after the fact. But after that, I knew like I was my man Chris Carnes, which went by Vajra then.
Right. Yes. I was a huge fan of Vajra.
And so we used to all practice, you know, we used to all practice at my parents' crib.
Cat practice. I know back in the day, like religiously, I'd go down his crib, like he sold me some equipment here and there, and he would just be on it 24/7.
He would just be on it. He'd be on it. And I was like, yo, I can't keep up. Technically, I couldn't keep up what these cats were doing.
He was
like,
working with the machine.
No, well, before that, it was all records.
Yeah,
I just scratch.
Yeah,
the scratching was just getting, and the juggling, and it was just getting too complex. And that's when I fully flipped over just to being like, I'm just going to go straight like open concerts and club DJ.
Not as technical.
And that's what I went in. That's what I did.
Hell yeah! When you graduated and shit, you fucking got an internship allowed and moved to LA for a little bit, right?
So my last semester of college, I needed an internship, and I did a tour with Pepsi in California with the Baker Boys, and I didn't have no records really at the time, and they put me in their record pool. It was called Ghetto Baby, which was Cali Kings. And so I did that tour, and I came back. I became friends with their brother, Frank V, R.I.P., but, I needed an internship, and he worked at Loud Records and had the Cali Kings marketing, which with the marketing, you were able to have various accounts. Like, he just didn't have to work for Loud Records. He had Def Jam, Sony, and he worked all these different kind of multiple accounts and worked at Loud Records. So he was getting the bag from everywhere. He was getting the bag for everywhere. And so I ended up internshipping for Cali Kings and Loud Records. And so that summer was my last year of school. I soaked up game like in 2000, 2001. I was soaking up game, saw how they did the record pool, learned how they were doing the marketing company. And basically what I did is I came back here, and for my final thing for school, I wrote a 50-page book of what I was going to do for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I turned it in for my assignment. It was 50. It was 50 pages. And I wrote, like, I'm going to start a record pool. I'm going to start a marketing company. And I'm going to do everything that they're doing, and I'm going to do it here. So they loaded me up with all kinds of records. They loaded me with all kinds of records. Uh-huh. And I came back, and I went to every single club. And I gave every DJ that was playing in the club, I was like, yo, I'm going to start this record pool. Here's some records. And I gave them all the hotness, doubles of records. I went to every club. And that's how I started my record pool, slowly but surely, out of my parents' house. Damn. And all the DJs would come to my parents' house on a Saturday and start getting records from my parents' house. And then I finally, you know, I got on the radio, and it went from like 5 to 10 DJs to 30 DJs. Now I'm servicing 30 DJs, mm-hmm. records, doubles. You like, they don't have to go to the store and buy double copies anymore because you need the doubles. So I'm servicing 30 of like the dopest DJs here, hands down. Anybody was getting the records from me.
Right. You know what's crazy? Is I have a couple stories to add to that part. When I would try to get music stuff and call the record labels, they would always, your name would always come up. And they're like, you need to connect with DJ Chones because he has all the latest stuff. And I'm like, I know, but I need some shit right now. You know what I mean? So they would send me music, Def Jam and everything like that. You know what I mean? And then the other one is on the flip side. Is I played football with Shelly. I don't know if you know who Shelly is from the East Side, but his mom was the one that started the OG record pool back
Dancing
in the
disc.
Day. Yeah, which you acquired as part of yours, right? As part of your
No, ma'am. They're the OGs. I forgot her name.
I forgot his name too.
Her name. But I think I was in their record pool briefly. Mm-hmm. But the son took it over, right?
Right.
And I knew that DJs were kind of slowly being unsatisfied with the service that they were getting. And it was because there was like kind of a crackdown on labels not wanting to service record pools anymore and stuff like that. And so, but I knew I had an advantage now that once I got onto the radio, mm-hmm. I had a little bit more leverage and I could leverage that. I knew that once I had that, it was on for me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was. Yeah. And then I was getting these other records where Top Secret Records, which where you would have like 6 tracks with the hottest record songs on them, yeah. But they all had 8-bar intros. But before, what that means is like they're mixable records. They're mixable records for DJs, and regular records were only 12-inch. You got to mix into the instrumental and then mix into the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Right. These ones had the custom 8-bar intro. Damn. And it blends right into
nice,
it.
Nice, that's dope. Damn.
And so I was servicing those too. Fuck, I was like, it was on. Like it was. And then I had like Def Jam, I had Sony, I had all these accounts. I was working all these records. I was like, I was doing all the record stores. I had people going to record stores, setting up POP, you know, displays for all these albums.
Where'd you store all of
those?
They
would ship them out.
My office was on, they call it Lo-Hi now. 32nd and T-Home.
Okay, yeah.
They call it Lo-Hi. Yeah, so yeah. They call it Lo-Hi now. My office is like a bar.
Yeah.
It's like a bar. So the dude that owned it, I rented from, had a house and offices next door. So we would share offices. And the crazy part is when he's going to sell it because he had a crib in Breckenridge. He's like, yo, we're going to put this stuff for sale for $500,000. And at the time, I was like, $500,000, I'm fucking out of here.
Right.
Out of here.
I've been the best investment in your life.
I'm like, yo, I'm out of here. I got to go find me a place, new rent for $500 a month.
Right.
You know, because it was cheap. Man, I wish I had bought that. I could have had that crib and that next site for $500,000.
So wild.
That thing is like $2-3 million.
Yeah. 2.5.
I was like, what was I thinking? But at the time, I wasn't thinking that.
Oh my God.
I was like, yo, this is fucking too much money. I don't even know. Because that's when Serato is about to drop and stuff, too. Like, we don't even know how long we're going to be here. You know what I mean? No one want records anymore.
Hell yeah. Just dying art form, just like now they're coming back, but I mean, like tapes,
not for DJs. Like, who wants to? I ain't carrying
no
damn records.
More merch.
No,
unless you know,
if you're still working DJ, if you're an OG DJ and then you're working now, then you definitely respect that. Yeah. You don't have to take all these crazy
I'm not doing that.
I'm saying you're gonna do it. I mean, that's
unless you're a purist and want to go do a 45 party or something like that, and that's cool. That's for the nostalgic.
You need them to do that for you, move everything and put it in place for you.
I don't want carry records, man.
Somebody's gonna have to set it up for you.
Not even a backpack of records, just like, you know what I mean, like 20 hot ones that you could just fucking.
I used to throw this barbecue at the crib,
and
I would make the DJs bring a crate of records. You only bring one crate of records. Everyone would get a crate of records. And what we do, we would play, everyone would battle each other with records. And so we would have to go.
Like verses kind of, but with songs.
Yeah, tit for tat. Like, so if you go into 90s hip hop, we have this 90s West Coast hip hop, we have to play the same kind of vibe. And the first one that switches the vibe loses. But you only had that crate of records to deal with.
So you have to make sure you have a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
Like the,
it was dope. Everyone was to battle each other. It was like, who could get it? Don't go in this lane, bro. Are you sure you want to go in that bag?
Obviously, some of you would bring the same songs too, right?
Yeah, and that's cool. And to like, so I have this too, and we double up. You know, you would play a verse and you were out. Or whoever, once you had another record to queue up, you were done. It was like, I have you. All right, take it out. Let's go. And we would, it was fire. Like Bed, Psycho. We would battle each other. Everyone lived for that. I missed that. We got to do that again sometime.
Yeah, bring it back.
Yeah, we should do one on the show.
It's dope. Barbecue. Like,
we should do it.
Yeah. It's fun.
Let's do one here.
It's fun.
That'd be tight.
Create a record.
That'd be dope.
It's fun, dude.
It's like some Iron Chef shit. You know what I mean? You got certain ingredients you got to fuck with.
See who wins. I always wanted to like maybe do a battle like that.
Oh, that'd be fresh.
Like a selection battle.
Yeah.
You know, different than like technical skills because, you know, that's fun.
Almost like you said, because everyone has like their hidden tracks or their ones. You know what I mean? If you're really digging, you're not going to have, if I'm really digging, I'm not going to have what you have. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna be playing Jay-Z, all the commercials.
Even if it is, it's just being able to stay in a certain lane for a while and keep up. Like, you go into this vibe, all right, what do I got? With only this set of records, what do I got to stay in that lane?
Right.
And so that's what, I think that'd be a fun battle.
That's tight.
Hell yeah.
That'd be super dope.
Hey, so did the record pools, did that lead to the Radio Bums?
No, the Radio Bums started in 96. When I was on the Eclipse show with me, Francois, Hakeem and Chris Nathan. I don't think at that time Chris, you know, music was changing then.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, still Backpack, and then, but you still have Puffy was coming up and No Limits and stuff like right. that. Things were just changing. And, you know, we wanted to be, we liked it both. And we wanted to play some of that stuff on the Eclipse show too. But I don't think Chris was really feeling that vibe. And so
no, he wasn't.
He wanted to still play Black Moon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, some boot camp.
You know what I mean? And yeah, so, for sure. So basically, me and Hakeem, you said we got kicked off the radio. He was driving me home. He goes, "Yo, we just got kicked off the radio. We should call ourselves the Radio Bums because we just got kicked off the radio."
That's cool.
And I was like, "Cool, I'm with it. Let's be that. Let's do the Radio Bums. Cool, I'm with it." And so, I was only 18 at the time we started Radio Bums. And me, him, and this other dude named Petey, we dropped the mixtape. It was called the Radio Bums Mix Show,
right.
Volume 1. And then we did Radio Bums Volume 2, and then Radio Bums Show Volume 3. And that was the logistics of the mixtapes that we didn't really do anymore after that. And then me and him, that's when I went. Me and him, we got that gig to go to California
right.
with the Baker Boys and Pepsi.
Right.
And so we went as the Radio Bums to California, and he was my hype man on the mic, and I would DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd DJ on the Pepsi, like, trailers and pop up in different areas, and I would DJ, and he would hype me up. And so that was the Radio Bums thing. But when he came, he loved California so much, when he came back to Colorado, now Hakeem's the one that did, like, No Coastline and all that kind of stuff. He came back to Colorado. He wanted to go back to California. So I was left here to hold down, like, Radio Bums where I was, and he was going to go do his thing with the Radio Bums over there, which he did tremendous things right. with the Radio Bums out there. And so I trucked along, and I started, you know, recruiting, mainly when the record pool started, Radio Bums DJs. That's when I started doing, because it was the Radio Bums record pool. That's when I started, like, hand selecting, like, yo, you're kind of like same from my same cloth, have my same values. And that's when the Radio Bums
jump you in.
Yeah, we're going to jump you in. And so we thought, like, yo, if you were dope at all these kind of like technical stuff and business, and you did good business, and you're a sound person, you know, I would ask you to be in the Radio Bums. But he still had his thing over there. And
just like a different chapter.
It's like a different chapter, but it was crazy at one time because he started a partnership with all the West Coast DJs and started a crew. It was the Radio Bums crew, and had like E-Man from Power 106, which is now the program director. E-Rock is the Vegas DJ. My man Chino, all these dudes, and they started this thing, and he called it the Radio Bums. And now I was like an outsider in my own crew. It was like really crazy. It's like, well, I guess I'm part of this now. Radio Bums. I don't know. Like I thought we started. It was cool because now we're gonna have all these connections with all these DJs.
Mm-hmm. You just weren't ready for it to get so big.
It got big, and then that thing kind of fell through over there. And those DJs that were already big DJs, which are still big DJs right now, like, they weren't with it no more. And it's like kind of tarnished the name a little bit, but I still kept moving with it
right.
over here. Like, yo, I'm still Radio Bums. I got a tattoo of Radio Bums, yeah. right? So I'm still rocking with it.
Gotta die.
And Fiends is the one that got the tattoo first. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't got it. But I had to do it because he did it.
Right.
And then everyone else started getting it. And so, but anyhow, I started rocking with the Radio Bums here, and we started doing Radio Bums, like Beds and Petey would do drops hit their Radio Bums right. mixtapes and stuff like that. And we just kept pushing that narrative of, like, the Radio Bums. Even when we first started the mixtape show, it was called the Radio Bums Mixtape Show.
That's what I was just about to lead to, which led to the mixtape show.
Which was the Radio Bums Mixtape Show initially.
Who was it? Who was over here, Francois, and who were formulating it while you were in
LA? Kingdom and Francois.
Kingdom, there you go. Kingdom and Francois were formulated at Eclipse, practicing up, getting it ready for the major radio. And you were in LA, and once that happened, you were doing the mixes for them, right?
So yeah, so they solicited the gig, right? They solicited the show, and they got the show. And I was in California, and I would just record the mixes, and I would send the mixes back, and we talk over it. And then when I came home to Colorado, I would still record it because we weren't live or anything. I didn't even have a mix studio or nothing there. And then I met with the program director at the time, and he asked me if I wanted to mix on the weekends. But on the weekends, I would have to play what their format
right.
on the weekends. And if I was with that, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm with it. Mm-hmm. And then I did good with that, and then he offered me, he's like, okay, what would you think about going live at 5? Live, though. And I was like, I'm with it. Let's go.
Let's do this.
And so they had a little sports, like, fan station in there, and they basically took it out. And made me my own, like, studio from the ground up.
That's dope.
And damn, they didn't have, so like, cool. live turntables in there or nothing, that's anything like sick. That. And so I was mixing live on the air with vinyl starting in maybe a 2002. And then I started bringing everybody on.
Right.
You had to be clean.
Right.
It was, you had to be clean. You couldn't mess up. Like, I had standards. Like, I had high standards that if we weren't sounding like the dudes in the West Coast, like clean with the transition and doing what we do, you weren't good enough for radio. And I just had standards that way. And I hope it reflected when you heard it on the air once everyone started going on the air, how I hand selected people to be on. You know what I mean? Because I think we're pushing the envelope. Was like, yo, if you a dope DJ, like, you need to aspire to be this. You can't have train wrecks. Can't be offbeat. Right? We had all these kind of, like, standards.
Yeah.
I had to turn down some of my homies. Like, Dizzy D, I turned him down, like, 2 times.
Right. You had to get better.
I was like, yo, you got cleaned it up, bro. You can't scratch like that all that time.
Yeah,
like, I even had to learn. Right. Like, when I started DJing, I would be, like, doubling it up and doubling and doing all this. And the PD's like, what are you doing? You can't do that. Why? So, it's radio. It's radio. You can't do it like that. Especially we're not the East Coast either.
Right.
Like that, we're not pulling down records, talking away. Hey, what up? Whatever.
Probably get the phones lined up. I think it's scratching a lot.
Yeah. Like, why is the record skipping? Yeah. You know, because you're doing doubles.
Right.
Double. I
think there's something wrong. Yeah.
Why is this record skipping like that? Why does he keep bringing it back to the very top? Right.
Keep starting over.
Why is
the
record? Yeah, why is the record keep starting over and over? Why does he keep starting the verse over?
That's hilarious.
You can't do that.
Well, that's real shit, though. I could imagine those phones blowing up. Like, what the fuck's going on? What's cracking? They're like, you just DJing. Like, ain't nothing cracking. I'm like, oh, yeah, all kinds of cornball shit.
You're
like
fucking
that, right?
up. You're fucking up the radio. What are you doing? You're fucking up my song.
For real, though.
Yeah, it's like DJing for 3 Invesco Fields or Empower Fields.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At a time, you had a big responsibility. Damn. So I had to learn.
A lot of people listening, right?
I had to learn. I was nervous. When I first started, I would shake my, putting the needle on. Because, like, if you think about it, how many people are listening to you at that time? It's not like now where you have all these different avenues where you can listen to music.
Everyone was listening.
Everyone's listening. And you knew they were listening.
You fuck up.
I did a couple times.
They're going to let you know.
Yeah, but I think it's good to see people, DJs, or hear them fuck up. Because then you know it's real. And then you just have more of that. More.
And I was known as the skipper. My homeboy would call me skipper because a lot of my records were scratched.
Really?
And we're like, yo, don't play it. If someone's on my records, don't play it past that part because it's going to skip.
Yeah.
I already had it marked.
Yeah.
You're right. We'll mark the record so you know where it skips so you can cut it off.
Don't
play
it there. My boy Mantis came here. He was driving here from Cali. I was like, come on, man. I'm going to put you on right now. Let's go on. You're mixing right now. Saturday night street party. You're going to mix. Man. Go ahead and play in my crate. Just don't mix past this couple of these records. That's scratched there. This is messed up here.
Yeah, you had to start explaining your records.
But how amazing is that? Like, you got to experience that, like, just to be able to play real records, like, like the real records, it feels, it must have felt, it just feels good, I'm sure, like to be able to be and then see where you come and you're still doing it all the time. Like,
at the time, that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't, you know, just didn't know, right? But yeah, it's definitely dope that at least I had that experience, right? To play actual records.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Dope shit, man. You know what I mean? Like you said, that shit was art back then.
It was an art, yep.
We were talking, one of the first scenes when me and Sin met, she was doing, teaching some kids up in Boulder how to DJ and stuff. And I was like, I'm all old, bro. You know what I mean? So I'm all thinking old school all the time. I was like, well, what's the first thing you got to learn as a DJ? She's like, what? I was like, you got to count beats, BPM. She's like, what? And she's like, it doesn't. You know, she was telling me, like, you know what I mean? I'm all thinking like records.
Oh, bro, you have to count?
Yeah, back in the one.
On
the,
no, on the, I mean, I was saying, yeah, I mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
back in the day, you would count that, the BPMs for each record. Yeah, I knew your record.
I didn't learn that until.
I was just saying, like, the kids also, they were kids. They weren't even listening. They just wanted to touch it. Yeah, so I would just get them in a line. And I had, like, 12 kids at once. Like, that's hard. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, like, then I was just like, this is all I can have. Do they each take turns and play like for like 30 seconds, like a minute each?
It's not easy entertaining 12 kids.
No, not at all.
Trust me, I have to entertain like 26, 27 kids sometimes in a class right now. So it's crazy.
For real? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's great they have 26 people in a class.
So sometimes that's hard to do.
No, I get it. I get it. Hey, after you guys start playing like prime time though, then you did get your own mixtape show, right? On Sunday nights?
We just continued doing the mixtape show, for a while, and until I think it kind of just ran its course with the program director. They didn't want it anymore, and so it ended up you know dying, which was sad because we had a lot of it was dope, which I miss. I miss it because, like, we would have MCs come on, right. Do freestyles, like KRS, come freestyle for 30 minutes straight. Have, you know, Guru come through on the set. You know, Ray Kwan come in the studio. Just, like, people just coming through and just rhyming on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I could drop the beat.
Right.
Let me just do the doubles and switch it up like old school hip-hop stuff.
Tell me about this real quick. I could have swore one day I was listening and Pharrell was on the show. Oof. And he freestyled. You know what I'm talking I'm not tripping.
I want
right.
that. I don't know where it's at. I'm so sad.
Dog, this
don't
bring up this story.
Don't bring up this story.
Oh,
sad.
I have to, bro. Yep. This was on radio.
No one believes it.
No, this is real shit because I heard this shit on the radio. So this fool Pharrell gets on the radio and they're like, oh, we're going to have Pharrell. He's going to freestyle, da-da-da-da-da. And the beat drops. And this motherfucker says every cuss word in the fucking book like 100 times live on the radio. And I am not bullshitting. Like, motherfucker, 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 motherfucker. I'm the motherfucker.
And I'm did you guys get in trouble?
Oh,
I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was a rap for
right,
us.
Right, though. It was that bad, dog. Like, it was that bad. Like, every word was like, fuck, bitch. Like, and I'm just like listening. I'm like, am I listening to the radio? Like,
Pharrell?
Pharrell of the Neptunes,
yeah,
bro.
So my boy Bice in California, record promoter, good old school B-boy, he hit me to some stuff about to say to him to get him hype. And I told the host at the time what to say, and it got him hype. And it's like, yo, do you want to rhyme? It's like, yeah, because he got him hype. And so we started dropping beats. And at the time, Timbaland produced a beat for this MC. His name is Skills. He just dropped that thing with Beyonce and Jay-Z. If it's on IG right now, it's pretty crazy. But I dropped that beat. He's like, oh, shit, now you're dropping the Skills shit. And he just started. I swear, he rhymed for like 25, 30 minutes.
He did.
25, 30. I just kept flipping beats, and I just kept flipping beats, and I kept getting them hyper. Every time I saw him get hyper, I started finding, like, iller beats and to drop on him. Oh, and, like, we don't have that recorded. We don't have that recorded, what? And there's no archives of that. There's nothing of it, but it's 100% fact. You ain't lying. There's so much cuss words.
I heard
words.
That shit.
So many cuss words.
I'm dead
ass. I thought we were done.
For sure.
I thought it was over for us.
I wouldn't even say he was getting like vulgar, like, you know.
It would have been over for me because I was just playing beats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The host that was radio the personality, station. He's the dude that runs the board. If there's a dump, he has to dump the cuss word. Right. That's his responsibility. He's the captain. I'm the co-pilot, man. Ain't nothing. I'm just a co-pilot.
Right. right.
Just playing music.
That's
playing
a real ass story, though. I heard that shit on the radio.
That's
bro.
Real. That's but a real story. That was 5 o'clock shit. In the afternoon.
It was traffic, bro. Yeah, it was right. It was like
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. I bet everybody was tripping, like, what the fuck? Little kids in the
I was tripping, but I was hype. I was tripping. I thought like, that was the end of our radio career. Not me, though. I didn't think then. Only one time I thought it was the end for me when I played the whole dirty version of the Welcome to Atlanta remix.
Oh shit!
And then I was there. It was late night, and I got a text two way. Right, Jam X hits me. He's like, oops. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And all I hear is, "Welcome to New York, motherfuckers, where we don't play." I was like,
Oh, shit.
The what's it called? The Puff Daddy, the remix out of all the customers. I was all the way. I got all the way to the Snoop Dogg verse.
Oh, shit.
It was too late. It was too late.
It's almost done.
I can't do nothing.
Yeah, might as well let it play.
I lived through it.
Oh, damn.
Wow. I even got told on.
Someone
one of my home, not, it wasn't my homie, but another personality. I ain't going to say no names.
Hater ass.
Yeah, but he told on me. Thought I was going to get me in trouble.
Damn.
My PD hater. Just ignored it. The only time I got suspended because I played the dirty version of Window Shopper from 50 Cent.
Oh, shit.
And that was on the mixtape show. Someone ratted me out then, too. But there was nothing because you really have to listen to the records back then because it was labeled clean, dirty, instrumental. I had it on the clean. Put it on the clean was dirty.
Right.
I didn't listen to it.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, I've done.
And it's a fucking cussing up storm. And now I got away with it a lot on the mixtape show. A lot of cuss words. Mm-hmm. All the time.
It was that Sunday late night, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to chalk this up, whatever.
Someone
got me and I got suspended. I thought that was a wrap for me too then.
Damn.
So I got saved a couple times.
Why they be hating on you?
Snitch ass.
I don't know. I don't know why people did that. I don't know. Maybe they want the spot or
they're trying to get that spot.
They feel like it gives them that's an what advantage it is, sometimes, bro. You know?
Like I'm next.
Yeah, I'm next and I just whatever. I did it for 15 years.
There's always people out there listening to find mistakes. So they like they just even if they aren't trying to get your spot, they just are haters. There's haters out there.
No one complained no one complained publicly.
No call-ins. It was
nothing.
In-house
so that
or even other competitors might be also
sometimes
looking
the, but sometimes that's like you don't even do that to other competitors because it's like you're in the same industry
right.
Yeah.
Like unless you're a really hater I would never even do that. I would text the homie that's on the radio like yo you messing up.
There's a lot of haters out there though.
Yeah so you know but I lasted 15 years
right.
Yeah
talking about like haters and shit like man I know you've always been put under enormous pressure with people thinking like you can open the golden door for them like musicians and you can get them signed like we were talking about that shit earlier like I've had to deal with that shit before man and sometimes you know what I mean how's that affect you
not anymore really don't affect
not
me
as
at
much
all
as more but back in
but
the
back
day,
in the day
sure
it was
a bunch of
yeah
bullshit.
everyone hated me they thought I had the like
the golden ticket.
I had the golden ticket to put you in full rotation.
Get you on every show.
Like, yeah, put you on concert, which Francois, you're talking to the wrong person. You need to talk to Francois. Don't talk to me. He's putting me on, right? Radio, I'll put you on the mixtape show if it's dope. But I think at the time of the mixtape show, we started playing high-quality Denver music that everyone knew if your stuff wasn't banging,
it wasn't
going to get played. Like, and so our standard of music production started going up. Right. It started going up and started going up. And it went all forms. Like, it went from gangster, like, Denver hip-hop to boom-bap shit, whatever.
I remember you played a track of ours off of Mine and Dent shit, the Blunt Sessions.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That was tight. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
man.
No doubt, man.
You know what I mean? Love that shit.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone, they didn't like me.
Nah.
And it was hard. It was hard, but, you know, I guess that came with the territory, right? You had to go with it.
Always, you got to have them. That's how you know you're doing something.
No, for real,
you
for
got
real.
The haters.
For real. And like I said, I mean, I've been places where people are like, why can't I get on the mixtape? Like, you never asked me. You know what I mean? Like, all you got to do is hit me up and fools be tripping, thinking they're just, you know, almost entitled. You get that sometimes.
Yeah, and then back in the day, yo, you had to bring and send it to me clean. I'm not going to clean your stuff up, dog.
Exactly.
Like, why am I responsible for that? don't know. Clean it up, right? And then I'll play it. But it you know, I think we put a lot of cats on back in the day on the mixtape show. It was dope. There's nothing I could do for you on the weekend, like street parties and stuff.
Right. But they just seemed like you could play whenever.
Yeah, they thought it, and so they're mad at me. All right, mad at me, I wouldn't play you on a mixtape show.
Right.
I'm sorry, bro. Step up your game.
For real.
Step up your lyrics.
Sometimes people send you some whack.
I'm just being real. People didn't like me because I was blunt, really, dude, I think.
And I have to be that way. Yeah.
I was just blunt. Yeah. And I'm still kind of blunt. You know, if I don't like it, you know.
You don't smoke the blunt.
I don't smoke the blunt because I get bad anxiety with that, bro. That stuff will give me anxiety.
You ever smoke weed back in the day?
Back in the day, yeah.
You remember the first time?
Yeah, that concert that we were talking about.
So we're going to age ourselves real quick.
That concert we're talking about.
I know one other person, but yeah, we were talking earlier, like we both went and seen NWA at McNichols Arena.
Yeah, just junior high, yeah. Big Mac. Nice. Junior high, yeah. And then my grandpa used to grow it, and so, damn. But he used to grow it to make medicine out of it.
And
so,
alcohol.
And so it used to be stashed in their house underneath their saints. Like the Jesus and the Mary. And we knew where it was. I go down there and I snatch it up. And then I get it and I take it to school, slang it. roll joints, slang it.
Exclusive.
Right. I used to slang it back in the day. It was like it wasn't even give you a headache. It wasn't no good.
Right.
It was mainly made to make medicine. Like my grandpa used to make this like rubbing alcohol infused kind of stuff. And I used to stick it on all my aches and pains.
That's so dope.
And so I used to use it.
Mexican shit. You know?
Yeah, so they would do that.
Yeah, you already know. You know.
Even right now, to this day, you can still go to. Now they got some good weed in there.
Right.
It ain't Schweig no
more. It used to work, though. It used to help with my pain.
Like, this shit's fire. And it did. Yeah, no, for real. It did. It was
wrestling, great. Dude. Yeah. Wrestling days. And I needed that stuff. Yeah. My dad would rub that on me, help work it on my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, help me out compete.
Smell like weed.
That's what I was gonna say earlier. You guys, did you guys play sports at all or no?
I play football and just wrestling. Me and my brother come from that club.
Yeah, your brother's a fucking monster. Too.
Oh yeah, he's
still
mean.
Whoop your ass.
I don't know about
no,
me.
No, I mean I don't know about you, but he's like
me and him will bang.
He's cold as ice though.
Me and him will bang.
Yeah,
we'll bang. I'm just a lot heavier now. He's a lot lighter than me.
Yeah.
So I would have to definitely lose like 30 pounds.
What if he puts you in a wrestling move? Are you pretty good
at
wrestling?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, I took third in state.
Oh, okay.
I took first in Greco's also.
Oh,
and so like, yeah, I should have took first in state, but I was injured. But yeah, we come from that club since 8 years old.
You're still in shape like that though too?
No.
Oh, okay. Because he's
like this.
He's still.
No.
He's dude, been competing.
I tell you right now, I probably could go 30, 40 seconds to wrap.
Done.
I'm telling you, that's how much energy you exhaust in that sport.
Immediately. It's so,
6 minute
it's so
match,
yeah,
you would die. I'm telling you terrible. Right now, I would. If you want me to do a 6 minute match, I would literally die.
Yeah,
throw up,
call 911.
Puking,
you're done for.
Everything. Like, it's the. You have to be in shape.
Yeah.
You use every.
Yeah, your brother just took a tournament recently, though.
I don't
old timers. He did.
He's an old timer.
Nah, yeah, there's old timers tournament. I competed in it.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah. I banged with some like young state champion. I banged with him, bro.
Shit.
I banged with him.
Damn.
I lost to him by like 1 point.
Damn, that's. Crazy.
I trained for it though. I trained hard. I trained at an MMA gym for it. I cut like
you got serious.
I cut like 25 pounds for it.
Oh shit!
How long?
It's been. I've been a couple years.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Years, yeah.
But yeah, I banged it out.
Oh, it was the same year as your brother?
My brother, yeah, he kept doing it.
Oh, okay. He did a couple more.
Yeah, I retired.
Yeah.
But man,
well, he's coaching and shit. And
he's coaching,
so
yeah.
He's
the man.
He's the man. Yeah, he is.
But you have to be in shape.
Your brother. He's
You have to be in shape to do that sport. Right. I ain't doing that right now.
Gotcha.
Right.